We are so excited. Coming up on Wednesday, filling in for me is going to be Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. And she, by the way, would you jiggle your cord just a little bit over there? Thank you, thank you. Hang on. We got a little. There we go. Now that's fine. That's fine. I was getting some interference in my headphones. Megan Barth joining us. She's going to be filling in on Wednesday. Very excited about that. We'll be on the Best Of on Thursday and Friday, and then we'll be back with a live show on Monday. And she joins us now. Well, now there's two accusers of Al Franken. And that big grin on your face, there's a reason for that. What is it? Is it that now there's two? By the end of the show, there may be three accusers?
How do we know that there's not more than two? We don't.
I know.
And we will never know if he was one of the senators that was accused of sexual harassment and assault and used some portion of the $15 million in taxpayer slush funds they used to silence the many victims. There are sexual harassers walking around in our Congress as we speak. We will never know who they are. We will never have their names. We, of course, will never know their victims because of the gag order. And we don't even know if any of them sit on the Senate Intelligence or Senate Ethics Committee.
No. Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me there are federal funds being used to shut up these women?
Yes. $15 million so far has been paid out in 10 years.
Wow.
Do you know how many citations or censures or actions that the Senate Ethics Committee has taken in 10 years?
I have no idea. It's supposed to be secret, isn't it?
Zero.
Oh, really?
Zero. So how many of these perverts, these political perverts that had no problem chasing tail around the halls of our Congress sit on the Senate Ethics Committee? Do you know? We'll never know. Why do you think Franken wants on so bad?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in fact, he's inviting an ethics probe.
Oh, of course he is. I'm sure one of his perv buddies sits on the panel.
Let me ask you, though. I mean, women are now coming out. You have Jackie Speier from the People's Republic of California. She was on with John Dickerson. And in fact, let's go to cut one real quick. I want you to hear Jackie Speier. Mm-hmm. She's talking about this being a cultural watershed moment for women all across the country. Listen to this.
What's your view about reevaluating the situation? You mentioned the president. The White House seems to suggest, and Senator Cotton also seemed to suggest, that the voters knew about this. They voted for him. And so it's an issue that's in the past. How do you see it?
Well, I think there is some truth to that. If the president was running today, I bet he would not be elected, because I think we have had a huge cultural shift that is 40 years in the making. But I think all of us are grateful now that there is a new day for women in the workplace where they do not have to put up with sexual advances that are unwanted, that they do not have to live and work in a hostile work environment. And that's going to be good for all of us in the workplace.
That, as that cultural shift takes place, some people have argued, some Democrats and liberals have argued, that a reevaluation of Bill Clinton's presidency is required. What do you think about that in order to be clear about what the new standard is and use, elements from the past that are well known?
Well, first of all, let's remember that he did face impeachment. It wasn't as if it was just tossed to the side. He faced impeachment. I think that the victims who came forward were not treated as they should have been. They should have been believed because, as I pointed out, most people who come forward are telling the truth.
Now, what I don't understand, somebody tell me where all these Democrats were during the Bill Clinton era when they were talking about trailer trash and all of this stuff.
Bimbo eruptions.
And where were all the Democrats back then ready to throw Bill Clinton out?
They were too busy trashing his victims in public. And if they were working for the administration, specifically the IRS, they were auditing his victims and trying to financially destroy them. If you were Hillary Clinton or a feminist at that time, a feminist actually were silent, except for a couple like Nina Burley, who was the Washington Times correspondent, who actually told many generations of young girls that they should give thanks to Bill Clinton and get out their presidential knee pads and give thanks to Bill Clinton for keeping the theocracy off their backs. And that was in specific regards to abortion. And then, of course, if you were the feminist icon, Hillary Clinton, she was calling them bimbos. She was calling them Looney Tunes.
She was
conspiring with George Stephanopoulos and others in the war room that she brought from Arkansas to our White House and we paid for in order to dig up as much dirt and trash these females and these victims in the public square and on the media.
I want to get, though, to the deeper subject, which is the idea of this being a cultural watershed.
It's such BS.
This comes up all – it came back during the Clinton era. It came up back in 1975, Bob Packwood and others. And yet this stuff is still going on in the Capitol. It's still going on in Carson City. It's going on in state capitals all across. In fact, in Sacramento, they're saying there are hundreds of women. Mm-hmm. That have never come forward, that are coming forward and picking out this representative, this member of the state senate, this member of the assembly, and they're going after these people. It's like open season, not just on Hollywood, but on politicians and in other. Are we seeing a cultural watershed, and is anything really going to change for women?
Katie Grimes writes about the California corruption extensively, and she writes about the sexual harassment. You can find that as the second story on ReaganBabe.com. But I just want to clear up the record for those that are historically ignorant or for those who like to rewrite history like the Democrats so they can cover their own sins. Bill Clinton was impeached for lying, for perjury. He was not impeached for sexual harassment. He was not impeached for rape. He was not impeached for sexual assault. He was actually provided cover by his members in the press and in his cabinet and by the Secret Service. Remember Troopergate? Troopergate from Arkansas? So the cultural shift. Let's talk about the cultural shift. I think that when no one could take down Bill Clinton because he was so protected, and generations of women watched what a powerful man could do, through abusing his power and using it towards women, many women did not come forward. Many women were led to believe that sexual harassment was a right-wing conspiracy. And many were afraid to speak out because they saw what happened to Bill Clinton's victims. But now we have Harvey Weinstein, huge fundraiser for the Clintons, huge fundraiser for the DNC, one of the most powerful men in the country, because he's wealthy and because he's politically connected. And the fact that he was taken down, I believe, was one, the start of a domino effect.
How so? It obviously started all of the stuff in Hollywood.
Correct.
Different stars, Kevin Spacey, others,
right.
that are accused of sexual misconduct. What about, though, mainstream? In the plumbing industry, in the publishing industry, in the any industry, is this going to be pervasive? Is it going to change things for women in general, or just specifically, these hundreds, thousands, maybe tens of thousands of cases that will come up over the next year?
There's extensive sexual harassment training in the public sector. I worked for private companies, I worked for public companies, and we went through sexual harassment training. I was still sexually harassed. There is always going to be sexual harassment. But do I think that men perhaps are seeing? Here's the problem. Sexual harassment was also reduced to simply touching someone's shoulder, right? And so you're going to have a lot of these claims that come out that haven't nothing to do with true sexual harassment behavior of using one's power over a subordinate in a sexual manner. That's really the textbook definition. So when you water down sexual harassment to include touching or looking at someone, nicely, or even saying, wow, that dress looks beautiful on you, right? Then we have this outrage. And that does not help the cause either. So we run that fine line of really what true sexual harassment. We also have wolves that are crying wolf, right? Or women that are crying wolf.
I saw a figure, 3% of the accusers of rape end up recanting, or it's proven that they didn't do it.
I'm not aware of that statistic, but let's look at UVA. Let's look at the UVA scandal that Rolling Stones used an anonymous woman who came forward by the name of, they called her Jane Doe. She came forward and said basically the fraternity had raped her. They never looked for evidence. And under Title IX, the men aren't given a due process system like we have outside of college campuses. They are assumed guilty until proven innocent. They are expelled. They are censured. They are reprimanded. All the rest. And then the truth comes out that she was never raped. It was a story that was entirely made up. And then you look over at Columbia. You had some chick carrying a mattress around on her back for months who said she was raped. And she wasn't. But the press ran with both of those stories on front page news, gave them all the media attention. But as you were saying when I was driving in, they don't make this huge retraction.
Yeah. Well, the Duke lacrosse team.
Correct. There's another.
And there you had prosecutorial misconduct out. I mean, just unbelievable. I worry, and we need to get to a break, but I just want to ask you, I worry that what's going to happen is we're going to have what I call a sterilization of relationship between men and women in the workplace, and that you're afraid to touch them, you're afraid to, as you say, compliment their hair or their dress or whatever, and that some or like some people I know are huggers. I'm a hugger, and that hugging will suddenly be verboten in the workplace.
Hugging is way verboten.
Yeah,
you haven't been in the public square for quite a bit.
Well,
you can't hug.
Well, and I can recall. We were required at CBS, you talk about corporate radio, we were required every year to watch a video on sexual harassment. The worst acting, the worst casting I've ever seen. But they produced these videos. We had to sit on our laptop and watch them. But I just wonder if there's going to be, if we're going to go through some sort of sterilization of the workplace where men and women are not going to be able to talk freely, act freely. And all just because, and I don't know what the number is, 5%, 10% of the male population are a bunch of creeps.
Yeah.
I mean, is that coming? I mean, you talked about touching somebody's shoulder. Right. I mean, that's suddenly unwanted.
It's already pretty sterile, but yeah. I think that the fear is going to be much greater. I think that the empowerment of being part of the Me Too movement might also produce a lot more false allegations. I mean, that just runs the risk. The larger the movement, the more allegations that you're going to have that come out that are potentially false or that are stretched. However, we have photographic evidence that Al Franken was taking advantage of a sleeping woman, and yet we need an ethics committee to review that? Are you kidding me? And it's interesting because those allegations with photographic evidence, I don't hear calls from Republicans or Democrats for him to step down or to resign, as they are doing with allegations with no photographic evidence of a candidate in Alabama.
And by the way, 40 years intervening. 40 years between the allegations of Judge Roy Moore and today. We'll talk more about that coming up. Also, tax reform. Is it on the way? We'll get to that more coming up. Live and local now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. I got to ask, because we were talking about during the break, this whole Bill Clinton thing, and with all of these accusations that are flying around Washington, this woman, that politician, I'm just curious. How did Bill Clinton get away? How has Bill Clinton gotten away with so much? And the Daily Caller's been really good about chronicling all this stuff that he's done on this Lolita Express.
Right. Yeah. Thank God the Daily Caller published this today, because this is something I've been talking about usually every time I get the radio. I remind everyone that Bill Clinton's best pal, Jeffrey Epstein, is a convicted pedophile. Before he was convicted of pedophilia, of hiring underage girls for his Lolita Express, which was his private jet that he would take to Orgy Island and entertain clients like Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey is on a flight log. But also who's on the flight log is Bill Clinton. 26 times he flew on the Lolita Express.
Was this just like a golf weekend?
Oh,
thing?
I'm sure. Like he golfed in the middle of summer in Arizona and just had to meet Loretta Lynch on that hot tarmac. Now, what 80-year-old or 76-year-old goes golfing in Arizona in the middle of summer, especially if that whatever he is, 76-year-old, is a multi-gazillionaire? You don't. You go golf in Ireland or something. But yes, so Bill Clinton is still silent about flights on pedophiles' sex plane. That is the exclusive or investigative group provided by the Daily Caller. And yet, Bill Clinton was able to get away with so much because, number one, he has power. Number two, he's protected. He's got a lot of money. And he didn't have social media when he was slutting around and raping women and attacking women and sexually assaulting women and sexually harassing women. And if there, in the age of social media, which we were able to expose Anthony Weiner, who's another pedophile, and we were also able to expose many others because of social media.
And you know what's weird is that Bill Clinton, if not for the semen-stained blue dress,
mm-hmm.
would have gotten away with it.
Absolutely, he would have gotten away with
all,
it.
All of Hillary's denials.
Right.
All of the talk of the trailer trash and the bimbo eruption, all of that would have been swept under the rug, and he would be considered one of the greatest presidents of all time. His mug would be up on Mount Rushmore today. If not for that semen-stained blue dress, he would have gotten away with it.
Right. He would have gotten away with lying. We never would have been able to impeach him for lying. And that's the Clintons are the experts when it comes to lying or flipping the narrative or changing the narrative or creating conspiracies. Oh, it's just another right-wing conspiracy. Oh, that's been debunked. Don't you love how Democrats say that? Oh, that's just been debunked. Well, excuse me, but don't you normally need an investigation first before you just jump and say, oh, it's been debunked? That's how they get away with things. They lie, cheat, and steal.
You know what that music means, right?
Yes.
We got to take a break?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. And we're going to talk about Marshawn Lynch yesterday in Mexico City. He sat for the U.S. National Anthem, stood for the Mexican National Anthem. Do they know what it's like to live in Mexico? Do they know what it's like to be in a Mexican jail or be a part of the Mexican criminal justice system? Do they know what they're doing? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. Live and local now.
Like she did 1,000 times before.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
I'm just
it's live and local now. Great to have you with us. God forbid. What is Jameson coming up with now? Great to have you with us, Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. In the house, I want to just ask you about this NFL thing. This every week it's something a little different. It's a little different twist.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got Marshawn Lynch of the Raiders mm-hmm. going down to Mexico City, standing for the Mexican National Anthem, sitting for most of the American National Anthem. My question is, huh? I mean, at what point?
But this isn't about the country. You know, they're dealing, it's not about the country. It's not about the flag. They love their country. This is about something else, I guess.
No. And then the NFL is trying to make, you know, lemonade out of lemons. And so they end up doing these PSAs where some of the NFL players talk about how great it is to have the military on the field and waving the flag and blah blah blah, and it just makes me sick.
Yeah,
I mean the hypocrisy of these people, these NFL owners. They could have stopped this on week one last year with Colin Kaepernick. They didn't, and now this thing is blown up and everybody's talking about it. We're talking about it on a show like this.
Right, but people are tuning it off. I'd like to see the latest. I haven't seen the latest numbers yet.
They're down.
Again, and we're looking at seats that are half empty. People want to be entertained. They don't want to be lectured. Sports is entertainment. Keep it off the field. If you want to go protest amongst your, Black Power brethren, or the Black Panthers, or whatever, you know, lefty Black Lives Matter organization, well, go ahead. But keep it off the field. And if as long as they don't keep it off the field, they will continue to watch their ratings decline. And if Marshawn Lynch, is it? Lynch, yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to, I guess, come to Vegas, right? Because the thugs from the West are coming to Vegas. That would be the Raiders. I honestly would pay like a lot of money to sit so I could have a sign that would be in front of any camera and it would say F you, Marshawn.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. And I would pay money just so I could flip him off. And that's how the American people are feeling against the NFL and Roger Goodell. We're basically giving them the big finger and turning off our TVs.
And unless Jerry Jones has his way and can somehow block it, Roger Goodell is scheduled on his next contract, which will go into effect in about a month. He's scheduled to make $200 million.
Oh, and a lifetime use of a private jet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get that perk too? Can I have a private jet for the rest of my life, please? It's just incredible what's going on. We're running short on time, so I need to get some other stuff. We've got the Senate is ready to take up the Senate tax reform bill, which would include huge tax cuts for everybody. But yet there are people that don't like that. There are people that don't like the idea of the people that pay the most tax, the wealthiest 1%. There are people that don't want them to get anything out of this. And in fact, their taxes should be raised.
I wouldn't call it a tax reform bill. I would call it a tax cut bill. The ones that benefit the most will be the workers because the corporate tax rate goes from 38 to 20%. So you're going to see a boom in corporate investment, either through expansion or the creation of plants, the creation or expansion of jobs, technology, et cetera. So, you know, we're going to have more people making money. We're going to have a better, better
Democrats. Democrats swear up and down that's trickle down economics,
and it's
not going to work. It's never worked. It didn't work under Reagan. It didn't work any. It's never worked. Mm-hmm. And they say when you're helping out corporations, you're helping out shareholders, but you're not helping out the little guy. True or false?
The little guy goes to work for a corporation,
yes.
So you're actually helping out the little guy. When you chase corporations out of your state, like California has done, then, this is the interesting thing. Progressives think they have this whole trickle-down economics, boo-hooed, and they think they know better. They think they can solve income inequality. Those are their two favorite words, income inequality. Well, let's look at how California solved income inequality. What they did is they just made everyone poorer. So there you have it. You solve income inequality by making everyone equally poor. 1 in 5 people live in poverty in California. 1 in 5. That is the highest number that they have had pretty much on record. And that was a spike under Jerry Brown. So I really don't want to hear a progressive tax plan because for the last 8 years, Barack Obama spent $10 trillion on shovel-ready jobs that never existed. So his amount of debt that he racked up basically put, I think it's $36,000 to $40,000 on each and every person. So if you have a 6-month-old child, they've already been born into $40,000 of debt.
Wow. Let me ask you, you know this political thing. You know what's going on. The House has already passed its version of the bill. The Senate Finance Committee has passed its version of the bill. Coming up when they come back from Thanksgiving, they'll end up going after the Senate finance bill. They've only got 52 votes. So what happened? Does it pass? Does Susan Collins get in the way? Does
Murkowski could get in the way? McCain could get in the way? Flake could get in the way? Johnson could get in the way? There's a number of senators that could get in the way. But McCain obviously votes out of spite. He doesn't vote on behalf of the American people. That's exactly why he voted no on the repeal or the replacement of Obamacare. It's because he does not want to see, much like the Democrats, this president succeed or get anything really through Congress.
Now, let me ask you, because some of the numbers I've seen, home incomes will increase by $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
In some states, it might be $2,500, $3,500. In other states, it might be, I mean, the average is $4,000. How can any Democrat go home for Christmas holiday having voted down a tax cut, more jobs, higher wages? I could write the 30-second TV ads. I mean, it'd be so simple. How can Democrats vote against it? And especially those that are running in November of 2018.
Well, especially those in the Rust Belt. Trump states.
Yeah.
Which were never Republican states until Trump. So they're going to have a real hard time. But the one, there's a couple things I do like about the tax cut bill. I'm not going to call it tax reform because, like I said, we still have four levels. We're not cutting spending. We're keeping the growth of government, you know, basically, you know, standard. I love that it removes AMT because that's been a long time coming. That is actually the most aggressive and widespread misused tax as more and more people make, what, 120 grand? I mean, you can't even hardly live in California on 120 grand. That was the AMT amount. So I'm glad they eliminate that. That's going to give huge amounts of relief. I'm also glad that we'll eliminate the death tax, which the Democrats like to call inheritance tax, because God forbid they don't want anyone inheriting more than what their parents want to give them, because the government needs a part of that.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
They're the most self-loathing, miserable, envious people, the progressives.
So the president has said he wants the tax bill on his desk by Christmas. We've got Thanksgiving coming up. They're going to try and get out of there, hopefully, before Christmas. Do they get out of there with a tax cut bill, or do they not? Does the president get his wish? Do the American people get their Christmas present from the president? Tax cuts for everybody. Does it happen or does it not
happen? Well, there is a book called The Grinch Stole Christmas, so let's see if John McCain's going to be the Grinch. He looks like one. He could really play the part. Why not? Right up his alley.
I just love that. So what are you doing for, I know you're going to be subbing for me on Wednesday.
Yes.
And then,
excited.
Of course, Thursday, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, gobble gobble.
You cooking?
So you got a turkey before Thanksgiving and then you got a turkey.
Oh, I love that.
Ba-dum.
So you
cooking? I am cooking, yeah. I'm cooking.
What's on the menu?
Well, I'm
by
cooking.
The way, what time do you serve, just so I can write it down?
Right,
just,
yeah.
Just in case I'm in the neighborhood.
I'm doing the vegetable dishes. I know. That was my task.
Leafy green vegetables.
I said,
can I
just bring butter or ice? I'm really good at that.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say yeah. I'll just bring the brown and serve rolls or something like that. Hey, have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Thank you very much in advance for subbing.
Absolutely.
Who's gonna be on your show?
We have got so far a great lineup, and I have some breaking news on voter fraud that I will cover,
wow.
And I will be giving a lot of evidence that I couldn't talk about before because it wasn't an investigative brief. But now I can talk about it. And there's a lot to share.
And by the way, to the FBI, if you're monitoring, it's 9 till noon on Wednesday. 9 till noon on Wednesday. And then if you want to circle the building, I'm not going to be here. That's okay. Circle the building if you want. Bring BLM.
I think I'm going to have Lenny Davis in. He's going to be.
I love him.
You love him, right?
I love him.
I think Chuck Muth is scheduled on
yes.
the phone. I'm going to have Rob Lauer from 360daily.net talk about his latest response, which is breaking news from the Clark County Registrar's Office. Hi, Joe Gloria. and what they said about how they track illegal immigrants in their voter registrations. They don't. So we'll have a bunch of really good stuff to share.
People are
going to be a little bit ticked off.
I still love the idea that they're purging all of these. What was it? 18,000, 19,000?
It was 36,000 voters the Secretary of State all of a sudden just found October 2016, or excuse me, 2017. Just last month, she purged, I think it was 36,000 voters, 42% of them were Democrats.
Whoa.
And it doesn't mean that 48% were Republicans, okay, or the other
52.
It was like 20% Republicans, you know, a handful of independents. Yeah, 42% Democrats just poof, all of a sudden off the rolls last month. I wonder if they were on the rolls in October of the prior year.
Yeah, I wonder if they voted. I wonder if any of those people that have been purged voted.
Yeah.
That'll be Wednesday. Be listening for it, 9 till noon. Megan, have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you again next week.
I will, yeah. Thank you.
Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. And by the way, if people want to check you out, what do they do?
Please go to Facebook at ReaganBabe. Go to Twitter at ReaganBabe and ReaganBabe.com for my writing. And the latest from 360daily.net, I've cross-posted on the voter fraud that actually does exist.
Yeah.
And the voter registration fraud that exists in this state.
I love it. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. And she'll be cooking the vegetables on, she'll be bringing the veggies, the veggie trays. I just go to Smith's. That's all I do. I go to Smith's, get a veggie tray, and that's my contribution. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is live and local now.